Well, we're still in the Lord's Prayer, but not too much longer. I think in 3 or 4 weeks we will have finished it, but it is such a rich part of Scripture, so practical for our lives. Today we are on the section which reads, "Give us this day our daily bread." You know, we've learned already that this prayer teaches us a lot about the relationship that we have with God. The first 3 or 4 elements of the prayer are all about God and His glory. Think about it. Our Father, holy be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. This is all about God. If you think of it like the Ten Commandments, you know, there's the first 4 commandments that are all really about God and how we are to deal with God. And then the last 5 or 6 are about man and how we respond to that relationship with God. The Lord's Prayer is kind of set up the same way. The first parts of it tell us about God and how we pray to God. And these last few parts tell us about man's need in response to that. And this is the first of those lines which reads, "Give us this day our daily bread." So not only does God care about us responding to Him accurately and correctly, but He also tells us how to pray for the things that we need. I think it's very special. It's not just that God is a king and a master and holy, but He's our Father. He's a provider. He's a good shepherd. He cares for us. He stoops down to lift us up. He recognizes our needs before we even know that we need Him. Reminds me of a kindergarten teacher. I was talking to Nancy Renner about her daughter who taught kindergarten for 33 years. What a heritage. And it got me thinking, you know, kindergarten teachers, if they're really good, like Luann, I think, probably was, they have a special gift, don't they? Because they can reach down to the level of a 5 or a 6-year-old and they can relate truth to that little child, that unplowed field, and they can make it fertile with knowledge. It takes a special gift to be able to relate to a bunch of 5 and 6-year-olds. And if you've ever tried to talk to a 5-year-old, you know. This is very much like all of divine revelation. It's all like the Word of God. God condescends to us. He gives us language we can understand. And the Lord's Prayer especially shows us that. It's like He's a kindergarten teacher and He's teaching us how to talk to Him. I think it's very sweet. So, I am going to read the Lord's Prayer to you again. This is the text for this morning. So if you would please stand in honor of God's Word, for the reading of God's Word. This is Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 8. "Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." You may be seated. Please join me as we ask the Holy Spirit for understanding. Dear God, precious Savior, sweet Holy Spirit, we pray that You would illumine our hearts, help us to understand the words that we have heard. Lord, soften our hard hearts, open our blind eyes, open our deaf ears to hear Your Word, to receive it with joy. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's three things that we're going to look at today as we consider this part of the prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." First, we're going to look at the two words, "give us." What are we saying there? Then I'm going to look at what exactly we mean by "this day" and "our daily bread." And finally, I'm going to look at the history of Israel and the daily bread that they received and how they responded. So when we say "give us this day our daily bread," the first part of it is "give us." We're asking God to give us. What we acknowledge here is that we need God. If we're going to survive even another day, we need God. You realize that every heartbeat is a gift from God? Every breath you take is a gift from God. Every time you swallow, it's a gift from God. Every time you stand up to walk, it's a gift from God. Every time you wake up from a night's sleep, it's a gift from God. When we say give us, what we're asking God for is everything we need for this next day. You see, we deserve nothing from God. He owes us nothing. We often forget that, don't we? All of our sustenance is by His grace alone. If He does not give, then we will not receive anything. This is clear in Scripture that all things come from God. All gifts come from God. All blessings of life come from God. Listen to Psalm 104, verses 10 to 15. The psalmist writes, "You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them the birds of heaven dwell. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock, and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth, and wine to gladden the heart of man, and oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart." Now, we often don't think that rain really is a gift from God, do we? That we need to ask for these blessings. That we need to ask for the basic things we need for life. But this is the truth of Scripture. And Jesus even teaches this too. A little bit later in Matthew chapter 6, He says to the people that He's preaching to, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." God cares for the birds. He takes such good care of the birds that Jesus can point to them and say, "This is our God. He even cares for birds. He even cares for flowers, for lilies in the field. I don't think I would be able to grow any flowers if it weren't for the Lord. My thumb is black, not green. But the Lord grows flowers. He takes care of flowers." It is amazing. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all numbered." That's how detailed our Father's care is. When we ask Him to give us, we're saying even count the hairs on our head. Now, this would be a more difficult job for some than others, but even the hairs on our head are numbered by our Lord. Now, when we pray, "Give us," we're even acknowledging that in the midst of our good, hard work and industry, we're still only sustained by God's grace. Your hard work is only profitable because God makes it so. Now, like many of you probably, I come from a heritage of dry dirt farmers. What that means, for you who don't know, is that there's no irrigation. You're basically working with the rain. And you're praying for rain. I remember talking to my great-granddaddy about farming, and he really prayed for rain. Because if he did not get rain, he did not have a crop. I think we've lost something. You know, 90% of our population used to be farmers. So they knew this to be true, that when they prayed, "Give us this day our daily bread," that they were praying for more than just, "Give me a good meal today." It was everything, including the rain that came from heaven. Now, this isn't denying the value of hard work or God's reward of hard work. Of course, the Bible's full of references to the lazy and the slothful bringing poverty upon themselves. But the point is that even the hardest labors are only profitable because they're blessed by God. So when we say give us, we're saying also, God, make our work profitable. We need your blessing. All the blessings of life come from God's gracious bounty. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Job says, after he had lost his whole family in a terrible tragedy and almost all of his property, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job got it. And even today, someone may ask us, why are we really praying this? I mean, I've never missed a meal that I didn't want to miss. Do we really need to ask God, in the midst of all our abundance, in the richest country in the world, really that the world has ever known, do we really need to pray, give us? Is that really necessary? I think your mind might trick you when you're praying this, that it's really just something you got to say. Or something you need to think about, but it doesn't really matter. But God's Word teaches us, and Job shows us, that that is just not true. Even in our affluence, the food we eat and the nourishment it provides comes from God. The older saints among us know this. If you've ever talked to someone who's lived a long time in the grace of God, and they begin telling you about their lives, what happens? They start tearing up, don't they? Like I'm doing right now. They start thinking about the goodness of God, and it just overwhelms them. They know that everything that they've had in life is a gift from God. They appreciate God's care. You see, young children don't get this, do they? And most of us forget it. Young children learn this, though. Children, when they grow up and leave the home for the first time, they realize that all the care their parents gave them wasn't something they should have taken for granted. Their food, their clean clothes, cars that work, insurance that gets paid, and everything else parents do for kids. And it's not that our kids are evil. It's just human nature. I mean, our kids are evil. We all are in some way, but the point is that you have to learn to be thankful. You have to learn to thank the Lord. And when your children go away for the first time, they kind of start appreciating what you've done. When we think about our Father in heaven, we begin to appreciate what He's done for us. That's why we say, give us, Lord. Because it all comes from Him. And it's not that He is holding back on us either. It's His good pleasure to give us things. You remember the psalm I just read? It said that He gives us all these things to bring forth food from the earth, wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen his heart. It's His good pleasure and joy to give good gifts to His people. Jesus said this in Matthew 7 later on in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? We think we're pretty good parents, most of us. And we love to give gifts to our children. We love to make them happy with things that surprise them or good things or just really just daily care. How much more does our Father in heaven want to give good gifts to those who ask Him? So when we say, give us, Lord, we're asking the Lord to take care of us. And He's a good Father, and He will. Next, I want to move on to the portion which says, this day. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, you probably said this or heard this a million times, but I want you to kind of pull back and think about it a little bit. I'm going to put it under a little bit of a microscope for a few minutes. I mean, plainly understood, this is just us, God's people, asking the Father in heaven for the necessities we need in life. I mean, that's the plainest meaning of the text. And I believe this is what Jesus is getting at. He's saying, you ask God for the things you need for life today. And we should. We wait on the providence of God each day to help us this day with all the necessities of life. Give us this day our daily bread. John Calvin said we're to ask God for what is necessary for one day, that God will protect and cherish the life which He has given us on this world. And as we need many supports, and He would supply us with everything that He knows to be needful. And we are to depend on every moment on the kindness of God, and to be content with that portion that He gave us. So I think we all get that part of it. But there's more to it that meets the eye. This prayer also reflects the great continuity of Scripture. You realize the Word of God, it is divided up into books and chapters and verses, but this is one whole story. It is one whole book. It all fits together perfectly. And when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we're not saying something groundbreaking or unusual or brand new. Rather, what Jesus is doing is He's referencing kind of the defining moment of Israel's history. What was that for a Jew? It was the Exodus. The Exodus from Egypt. In all of Jewish history, that's the one thing that stands out. And even today, you talk to Jews, folks who live in Israel, the Exodus from Egypt is the centerpiece of history for them. It was their Battle of Hastings in 1066 that started the country of England, basically. Or maybe it was their Revolutionary War. It was the thing that made them a real nation. So how is Jesus referencing the Exodus from Egypt here? Well, I'll show you. You see, when God brought the people out of Egypt, He brought them out of slavery in Egypt. He brought them across the Red Sea on dry ground. The armies that were chasing Him were the greatest superpower in the world at that time. The army of Egypt. They were unstoppable. And they were destroyed by God. The people of Israel were visibly led by the Spirit of God, the visible Spirit of God through the wilderness. And then they were literally fed by God in miraculous ways, as we read already. They received bread from heaven, and it tasted good. So when Jesus says that we are to pray for our daily bread, all the Israelites listening knew exactly what He was referencing, because they knew their history. In Exodus 16, remember, the Lord told to Moses, "Behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day." That sounds pretty similar, doesn't it? "Why? That I may test them whether they will walk in My law or not." God wanted the people of Israel to trust Him to get just enough bread every day. Not to try to save more for tomorrow, but to trust Him for that day. You see, we're not to ask for tomorrow's blessings. I'm not saying it's sinful to pray for a good future or something like that. But when we are praying to God every day in the habit of our prayers, what we are really praying for is, "Lord, this day. I need You this day. I need everything I need this day. Because You're the only one who can give it to me. Not just my bread, but everything I need this day. I need it from You. Help me, Lord." But we're not just asking for the blessing. The old Puritans also said that it's evident that we're asking for the ability to enjoy the blessing. I remember when we lived in the Azores. And if you haven't ever seen pictures of the Azores, it is stunningly beautiful. Where we lived, there was a big cliff out in front of us. And there was a big rock, I mean a big mountain of a rock, about, I don't know, half a mile from the shore. And you could see the waves just crashing on that rock and the spray just going everywhere and creating rainbows in the sky. And then behind you there was this lush green and then a mountain just sticking up in the distance. People go there just to take pictures of it. It was absolutely gorgeous. It was hard for me to do work because I sat at my desk and I looked out at the window and I just could not help but stare out the window. I felt like an elementary school kid. I could not stop looking. But you know what? People who lived there, who grew up there, they didn't even notice these things. They did not even notice the great beauty around them. They didn't have really the ability to enjoy what God had given them because they didn't see the context in which they lived. You see, we don't just pray that we would have the things we need this day, but we understand that we require the blessing of God to enjoy life at all. Indeed, we need God this day for all things. And it's just not material things either. The spiritual bread from heaven is also at reference here. The true bread from heaven, that's our Lord Jesus Christ. When He fed the 5,000 in John chapter 6, He miraculously provides what for them? Meat in the form of fish instead of quail, and bread. Instead of manna, He just makes it. But you know what? He had done this miracle before, hadn't He? Did you know He was actually with the people of Israel in the wilderness? Because He was. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, talking of these Israelites, they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, capital R. And the rock was Christ. See, Christ was there feeding them manna from heaven, and He comes back to the Israelites and He's still giving them physical bread. And yet after He feeds them this meal, this bread and this fish, He says to them, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. See, Jesus does this miracle and then He preaches the gospel to them. He says, this bread that came down from heaven is pointing to me. The manna that came down from heaven 2,000 years ago points to me. I am the bread from heaven. My flesh is going to be sacrificed for you. So when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, you're praying not only that God would meet your physical needs, but also your spiritual needs. And the biggest need that you have is forgiveness of sins found in Jesus Christ and His saving power. I know I've talked about it before, but remember the paraplegic who was let down right in the middle of Jesus' meeting? And Jesus looked at him, here's a paraplegic, and He says, your sins are forgiven. The guy can't even move. And He says, your sins are forgiven. And you think, well, don't you want to do something more than that, Jesus? I mean, the guy's a paraplegic. But Jesus gave him the very thing that he needed for his eternal soul. The best gift he could ever give. He brought him into his family. So this is a prayer for God to provide all that you need. Everything you need for life this day. Of course, every day, but this day. And knowing our God and how good He is and His gracious care makes it a wonderful prayer, doesn't it? As we've already seen, His gracious care for us is like that of a father and a king and a shepherd. He does make us lie down in green pastures and lead us beside still waters. That is His character. This is what He desires. He restores our souls. His tender mercies are beyond number. I want you to think just a little bit with me of all the ways that God provides every day. Life. Breath, food, drink, sleep, health, the ability to walk. These are all gifts from God. And really, if any one of them were missing in your life, if you couldn't sleep, if you couldn't drink, if you didn't have food, it would be serious. But we take them for granted sometimes. or even our senses. Think of your eyesight. The next time you see a beautiful summer sunset, or the majesty of the changing leaves in October, think of what a joy it is to be able to see this with your eyes. What a blessing it is. What a gift from God it is. Or your hearing, the morning calls of the birds, so beautiful. Or the first cries of your children after they're born. These are special sounds. And there's so many things like this that we hear every day. They're gifts. Or the smell of a wonderful pie just coming out of the oven. Or the sweet fragrance of your wife's hair. Or the wonderful aroma of roses. Great gifts. Why did God give us these wonderful gifts? To be able to smell these beautiful things. They point to Him and His glorious care of us. The taste of a good meal at the end of a hard day of work. Or even all the variations of taste. The savory, spices, the sourness, the sweetness. Such variety in His creative power. These are gifts. The feeling of the soft grass under your bare feet. Cool water on the back of your neck on a hot day. The touch of your child grabbing at your hand when he's young. And how much more are we to thank Him for our ability to think and reason and learn and communicate? Rational thought is a gift from God. The ability to communicate is a wonderful gift. These are all part of God's gracious care for us. All because of His leading and guiding this day. This is part of our daily bread this day. If you get this, it brings just such a wonderful peace to your life. You can trust God totally to care for you, even in the midst of difficulties this day. My daughter and son-in-law recently sent me a video of my son, Mason Steele, Orth. He is 1 year old now. Kid is, he's amazing. Not that I'm a proud granddaddy or anything, but that boy is something else. And the video was them hiking through the mountains. And Mason is on this backpack. And Luke is, you know, up and down and back and forth and dodging branches and trees. And then there's the video of Mason in the backpack just kind of holding on. And you know what he's doing? He's dead asleep. He's just like that. I mean, bouncing all over the place. And he's just... he is out cold. Now, he's a lot like his granddaddy in that respect. But the point is, he's perfectly content. He's perfectly trusting. He knows he's perfectly safe. He knew that his father had him. He was safe in all the bumps and the bounces. He was like Christ in the storm, wasn't he? Asleep in the back of the boat. His father had him tight. He had no worries at all. So when you see that our loving Father cares for us that way, in the midst of all the bumps and the bounces of life, you can actually be at rest. But you know what? The Jews did not see this at all. They didn't see God's goodness. Rather, they grumbled, as we read. They grumbled at the goodness of God. This amazing miracle, this manna falls from heaven every day for 40 years. And they grumble. But while you're pointing your finger at them, remember you got four more pointing back at you, right? So we grumble too. Anxiety, grumbling, these really reflect a distrust of our Father. They reflect the fact that we don't really understand Him. We don't really know Him. Anxiety and grumbling defy God's good provision and care in our lives. Really, when you're grumbling and when you're anxious and you're not really even fighting it, you're kind of shaking your fist at God. And you're saying, why? This is not right. The Lord does tell us, even in this sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, not to be anxious or worry about tomorrow. He's referencing our daily bread, isn't He? When He describes the battle that we have with anxiety. He appeals to the principle of God's good provision of daily bread today. He says in Matthew 6, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't the life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow or reap or gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they?" And then he talks about the lilies and the grass of the field. And he says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Therefore, in light of all I've said, Jesus says, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." He's referencing the prayer he just taught the people. "Give us this day our daily bread." And he's saying, just keep your mind on today. If you're going to pray about something, pray about today. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And God is a good Father. And in the midst of the bumps and the rattles, you can be at rest. But even take it a step farther, and I would say don't just not be anxious. And you know, if God says don't be anxious, then to just revel in your anxiousness and your worry, to just grab onto it and kind of wallow in your worry and your anxiety, that's sinful. So we're to push against worry and anxiety by looking to our Father in heaven. But grumbling is even worse, isn't it? The Israelites grumbled and they perished. They were led by God into the wilderness. They were given all of their needs. They were tempted to be discontent. And they took the bait. They wanted to get more manna than they needed. They grumbled about what God had provided and they died. Indeed, Moses said, "Your grumbling is not against us. It's not about me and Aaron, but you're grumbling against the Lord." Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 10. He said, "Nevertheless," speaking of the Israelites in the wilderness, "Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer." And you know what? Even after Jesus fed the Israelites, the 5,000 men plus all the families, 20,000 people, the great miracle that I just described, it said in John chapter 6 that, "So the Jews grumbled about Him because He said, 'I am the bread that came down from heaven.' But Jesus answered them, 'Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws him, and I'll raise him up on the last day.'" You see, the knowledge of Jesus, knowledge that He is the true bread from heaven, is spiritually discerned. God has to draw someone to that knowledge, and unless God illumines their hearts, enlightens their eyes, they will never get it. But once they got it, He's got you. He's got you safe. Jesus knew this from His own experience too, not just from leading the rock who was leading the Israelites in the wilderness, but also from His own experience in the wilderness. You remember Jesus was similarly led by the Spirit where? Into the wilderness. Why? To be tempted. And what was the very first temptation of Satan? "Take this rock and turn it into bread." Isn't that fascinating? I just think, goodness, what a story. "Take this rock and turn it into bread." That's the same temptation that the Israelites were tempted about, the same temptation that the Israelites were tempted of in Jesus' time, and yet Jesus took that test and He passed that test. And how did He answer Satan? Do you remember? He said, "Man does not live by bread alone." Deuteronomy 8 is what He's referencing. And this is where Moses tells the people of Israel, "And He humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, that He might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." So you see, the key was the Lord. The key to Jesus' success in the wilderness in His temptation was His relationship with His Father. Much like Aniah is so safe in her father's arms, so we can be safe in the arms of our Heavenly Father. John 14, Jesus describes this relationship. He says, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. He trusted His Father to provide for Him everything He needed every single day. He stood on God's Word and He accepted the hardship of each day without grumbling, without anxiety, because He knew His Father had Him. He was like that baby in the backpack, holding on tight to his father, getting bounced all over the place, and yet dead asleep. So you look to your good and gracious Father as well this day. And when you pray this prayer, think about these things. When you say, give me this day my daily bread, give us this day our daily bread, think that you are not just asking for food, you're asking that God would be with you and provide all your needs this day. Because only He can give the thing that you need. Whether material or spiritual needs, only He can give it. And everything He gives is good. Has a good end. He knows what you need and He provides for you like a good father. But you know what else? He does it with joy. It's His joy to bring goodness into your life. Good blessings, the things that you need. That doesn't mean it won't hurt sometimes. But it's His joy to bless you like a father. And when it is bumpy, don't be anxious. Don't grumble about your life. But pray to the Father. And now please join me in prayer. Father God, we do thank You for Your good and gracious care in our lives. We do pray that You would give us this day our daily bread. Lord, meet all of our needs. Of course, meet our physical needs. Lord, we ask You for this. But help us to be able to enjoy them as well. To see the goodness and the graciousness with which You provide everything in our lives. Every experience that's good comes from You. Every gift comes from You. The ability to breathe, the beat of every heart, comes from You. So be with us this day. Meet our needs, Lord. We need You. We are Your sheep and You are our shepherd. We are Your children and You are our Father. So hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Meet our needs, Lord. We need You.